Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Want to know which companies are about to list on the London Stock Exchange? To see an up-to-date list of all the new and upcoming London IPOs, please visit voxmarkets.co.uk/IPO-watch. The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast. Today we have CEO of Rosarion, Neil Ricketts, come on and talk about the results that have come out today. We also have Alan Green also on the podcast.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
Joining me on the podcast today, I have Neil Ricketts, the CEO of Rosarion, ticker VRS. Thanks for being here today.
Good morning. How are you, Abraham? It's good to talk to you.
Good, thanks. I see you've got your results up. Before we get into that, could you just quickly tell us what is Rosarion for investors who don't know?
Yeah, sure. So Rosarion was founded in 2011 to take IP out of UK universities and to turn that into commercial products. So at the moment, we're specialising and focused on the commercialisation of graphene, and that's what most of our activities are.
Amazing. And the results are out today. Could you take us through some of the highlights, please?
Yeah, sure. So in terms of the operational highlights, we've got 13 new graphene applications. These are some of the largest companies in the world. We've also successfully joined and moved into our Graphene Engineering Innovation Centre up in Manchester, meaning that we are located right in the heart of the graphene city. We also acquired Nanomat in this period. It's quite interesting that these results are quite backward-looking compared to where the company is now, but they obviously relate up to the 31st of March. But we've also seen activity in the US, China, South Korea, and Japan. So really moving into being a global business and showing some significant improvements.
And when do you expect to see some more growth in the company? Do you expect to see more at all? And if so, how?
Okay, so I mean, looking at the figures, they look fairly flat. But what you need to understand is that the economy itself went through a bit of a challenging time in the last quarter and the beginning of this year. So we're seeing a slightly different picture now than we were back then. So I'm actually quite impressed that we managed to show a slight increase in the revenue line, given the backdrop of the uncertainty around Brexit. But in terms of the EBITDA, that's up a little bit, but not substantially given the increase in the amount of work that we're doing and the resources that we're throwing that, both in terms of our global expansion and also our technical teams that are flat out at the moment trying to work through this long list of collaborations and MOUs that we have. And that's keeping them really, really challenged. Always an interesting dialogue between myself and the CFO, Chris Lee, as to how much we invest in that and how much we restrict the growth of the business, because there's always an opportunity for the CEO to be pushing as hard as he can and for the CEO to make sure that the company is well funded. And so you'll see that the cash position isn't particularly changed, and following the very successful oversubscribed placing, we were able to do more things simultaneously rather than having to do them sequentially. So I'm really, really impressed with these results. The loss before tax looks high, but that's predominantly based to a non-cash consideration for the shares or the share option schemes, which is an interesting accounting procedure under IFRS. But, despite using that cash, we've used it quite wisely because the net assets are up by 66% to 13.3 million from 8 million. So an increase of 5.3 million.
And now that you've deployed cash into the opportunities that you've seen, when do you expect to see growth in those areas?
So I didn't really answer your last question, which was around growth, and I'm glad you brought that up. What we've got here is a business process. We're manufacturing engineers, or I'm a manufacturing engineer and a mechanical engineer, so I think of things in a logical process way. So when we get an NDA, that generally moves on to a more detailed... So we have an inquiry, then an NDA, that's a more detailed conversation. That leads on to some kind of collaboration agreement in most cases. Once we've got the collaboration, then we go through a period of testing where the customer is actually looking at our material in their application. Once you're through that, then we start negotiating the commercial terms and get to orders. Now, you'll have seen a couple of weeks ago that we posted our, you know, one of the first big orders for an oil and gas company that came from the US. And that shows how this process works. And then what we see is those orders get bigger and bigger as their particular products start to enter the market and develop.
Neil, and are there any highlights post-period that you can share with us today?
Yeah, so, I mean, the company has been really, really active. The news flow is starting to increase again, and the reason for that is because post-period, we became the first qualified and verified graphene producer under the Graphene Council's program. That involved extensive testing in the UK at the National Physical Laboratory. But it was also validated by testing going on as part of the due diligence for our China deal. And what we know now is we are producing really, really good quality graphene despite scaling it up a magnitude. We've also started to see orders coming in from the USA and Japan. And probably the most important thing that the company's working on at the moment is this term sheet with the Beijing Institute of Graphene Technology, which will really spearhead our China expansion. That will enable us to have our own wholly owned foreign entity in China, which will form the base for a number of JVs with our partners that we're working with there and some of the MOUs and collaborations that we've signed in the last 6 months. So That's all in progress. It's all running to time at the moment. Can never guarantee anything, but the company is very focused on that. And Matt is doing a great job with Bruno and James and Chris and the rest of the team to make sure that we deliver that on time. The last thing, which is new news, was we actually we had the REACH approval, which enables us to supply up to 10 tons of graphene per annum into Europe, and that is another great milestone and foundation block in the development of our company.
And so, as always, what can shareholders expect to see in the future? And I suppose, what are the three reasons why they should be following Versarian?
Sure. So the three reasons are that we've laid down these great foundations in terms of getting the right accreditations and the right processes in place. We have a great team. And so, you know, we're starting to deliver on those promises we made. The second thing is that we have the right connections. So connections with central government, the Department of International Trade, Innovate UK, the National Graphene Association, the Graphene Council, and a number of other really, really important bodies that make it possible for us to talk to these very large companies, even though we're a lot smaller. And the final reason is that I'm the largest holder in the company, and therefore you can guarantee that all my aims and ambitions for this company are aligned to those of the long-term holders.
Brilliant. Well, Neil, thank you very much for coming on.
No problem at all. Thank you very much for the time. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Abraham.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
Joining me on the podcast today, I have Alan Green. Thanks for being here today.
It's a pleasure, Abraham. Nice to talk with you. I think we have spoken once or twice before, but good to meet you across Skype today.
Amazing. So what companies are you following at the moment? What's interesting you?
Okay, well, I've got three companies to put in front of you today, and we said before the podcast we'd also discuss Thomas Cook, because obviously that was something that I sort of very much picked out as a trading opportunity, not an investment opportunity, I might add, despite what Justin may or may not have said. But first of all, I want to bring to your attention three other companies. These have been discussed at various stages before. I want to talk firstly about Tiziana Life Sciences. The epicode is TILS. The company's got a market cap currently of 78 million, trading at 57p. stocks traded as high as 148p on the year and as low as 36p. It's also dual listed on NASDAQ as well. So, and as you're probably aware with life sciences and biotech companies, there's a huge appetite in the US for companies listed on the NASDAQ. So they've got the benefit of both markets in that regard. So the company it specializes in the molecular treatment of human diseases in oncology and immunology. Now, we've all heard about labs or mice being tested in labs and having their molecular structure altered to test the outcome of diseases. Tizian have a number of flagship products in this area. The one that's very current is called Mishaclib, and this molecular drug basically is treating a liver cancer, a carcinoma, and the drug has been in testing with some 270 cancer patients, some of them for as long as 5 years. The interesting thing about this treatment is that I mentioned just now the treatment of mice in the labs, all the rest of it. This is the only fully humanized antibody that has been developed and is in circulation. So it's different in that it's been tested on humans and it's been found to have no side effects. So in that regard, I think pretty well every other treatment in this area that's been tested on humans has resulted in side effects. So the company have undergone a series of tests, and we are waiting now, and due literally in the next few days we're going to have the final stage data for Mishaclib, and obviously that's highly significant and could result in you know, if the data bears out what we're reading about both from the company and also in some of the publications that Tiziana has published over the past few weeks. These are independent publications. Then it could be a very interesting and potentially transformational phase for the company. Given that some of the other drugs in this area, such as Humira, have sales of some 21 billion, so it's an enormous marketplace. The difference being, though, with Humira, it's an injectable solution, whereas Tiziana have patented a nasal and oral delivery mechanism, so there are none of the side effects and the potential risks involved with injections. So that's Mishaclib. Also due in August, there is data for the data due on the company's other drug, which is called Furalumab, which I spoke about recently on IGTV. And this is for neurodegenerative diseases such as Crohn's disease, NASH disease, which is the fatty liver disease, and also multiple sclerosis. And again, this treatment has been developed and tested on many patients over the past few years. And in fact, there are some big pharma companies now looking at these treatments, in particular in the area of multiple sclerosis. So the company is at a potentially transformative stage with this final stage data, and obviously, as I'm sure you're aware, in the US market in particular, there are some pretty severe and exacting standards required by the US authorities in regards to bring these drugs to market. But once at market, you've got an enormous potential marketplace. As I said, Humira in this space is already selling. It has a marketplace of some 21 billion. So it's enormous.
Interesting. And are there any other drugs that's developing, or is the focus around these two drugs that you mentioned?
There are There's another drug called anti-IL-6R, which is for myelomas, and a stem print process for breast cancer. But these drugs, both Mishaclib and Furalumab, are really on the runway at the moment. So these are the key areas of focus. But what's also interesting, I think, in recent weeks, we've seen peer journals review these drugs, and they just bear out what the data is already showing, that their own independent sort of research has confirmed that both these drugs are delivering results, but also more importantly, or just as importantly, there are no side effects. You know, and this is absolutely key in this area. So yeah, it's potentially huge. Company's run by the executive chairman is Gabriel Cironi, who is a serial biotech entrepreneur. He's founded 9 biotech companies, taken 6 to Nasdaq and 1 to London. So we're at a very exciting phase. And as I say, we're expecting this data in the next few days for Mishaclib, and then in August for Furalumab.
Do you think the market's priced in at the positivity that could arise after the data comes out, or not fully yet?
I don't believe it has. The shares have drifted back. There was some interest. They were featured in the Mail on Sunday a few weeks ago, and there was some interest in that. But I don't think the market has actually grasped the significance of where these drugs are in their evolutionary phase, particularly Mishaclib. You know, these two drugs are on the runway, and once they're passed by the US authorities, they'll be exposed to an enormous marketplace, and the company is just worth 78 million quid at the moment, which is daft. You know, I think if this data bears out what we're expecting, then it could be transformative, and I think we could see some significant upside. Now, clearly, you know, that comes with a caveat: shares go down as well as up, but certainly where the company is at, you know, it's at a very exciting juncture.
Do you think, so the data coming out, is that part of their application that's ongoing with the FDA, or is that another step that they have to go through first?
It is. So Mishaclib has undergone a series of trials, and this is the final stage of the trial. And this data is due, as I say, at the end of July. So it is. We are at a pivotal juncture for the company in that regard. So I believe that once this data is reviewed and is accepted by the US FDA, the authorities there, then we will be sort of on the home run. Clearly, there will be some formalities to address, but I think it will have proved its case. As I say, 270 cancer patients treated over and some have been treated for as long as 5 years with this drug. So the acceptability, the lack of side effects, everything else, it's been well and truly validated.
Interesting. Is there anything else you're following at the moment? Any other companies?
Yes, indeed. I've 2 other companies for you, Abraham. Firstly, I've spoken about this company before. I love this company because it's just such a simple solution. It's called Big Dish. The epicode is DISH.
Yeah.
Now, Big Dish have developed an app for restaurants. A perennial challenge for the restaurant industry is that clearly at peak times your tables are full. At other times you want to fill the tables up and you simply can't, because that you either don't have the passing trade or maybe it's not the time of year. So Big Dish have developed an app which offers users of the app a discount if they book restaurants, and the app features the times that the time of day that you can go in and you can get a discount from the main menu price, and it's absolutely simplicity itself. The company have a number of territories across the UK that they've launched. They've just launched into Brighton, and they'll be rolling out additional restaurants in Brighton in the coming weeks. But what I love about this, it's very simple. It's a dynamic algorithm that enables restaurants to fill tables at peak times, and it integrates into their booking system nicely. The company has attracted an awful lot of interest in the past few weeks, and this morning the company announced a partnership with Oceanic as a a means of reaching the Oceanic, by the way, are the company that run the restaurant awards across the UK. Yeah. And the company has an arrangement now with Oceanic to reach each award opportunity as it comes up. People that vote for those awards as well, it has an opportunity to promote this app out to all of those to that marketplace. So a potentially huge opportunity. The company is also rolling out territories across the UK and has appointed territory managers, and it's also in the process of appointing brand ambassadors too. So these will be key celebrities who will be helping to build awareness of the app. And what I love about it is, I mean, the share price, just to sort of recap on some financial data, the share price has been as high as 9p, it's been as low as 2p, currently worth about £15 million, but really where it's at this level, I've drawn comparisons with Just Eat. Clearly Just Eat have revolutionized the takeaway food industry, as we know. You use that app, you book your takeaway, and Just Eat earns a little clip on the way through of that transaction. And Big Dish is exactly the same. So it could potentially do for the restaurant industry what Just Eat has done for the takeaway industry. And clearly with Just Eat, you've got a company that's worth many billions of pounds. And I'm looking at Just Eat and thinking, well, if I'm the CEO of that company, I've got a company that's worth many billions of pounds. I've grown the company. I've made acquisitions all over the place. How am I going to grow it? And this hasn't happened, and it's pure speculation on my part. But I think this would be a natural progression for them as an acquisition further down the road. But clearly, that's my own personal view, and remains to be seen.
Very interesting. Do you not think what's really important going forward for Big Dish is adoption of the app for it to be effective for the restaurants to fill out the tables?
Absolutely. They've got a great team in place around them. The CEO, Sanj Nahar, is ex-TripAdvisor, so he's intimately familiar with how the industry works and how app adoption is so important. And what I love about the app is simplicity itself. I'm actually based on the South Coast, live near Brighton, so members of my family tried a restaurant called Opposition, which is an Italian restaurant this weekend, and they were able to get a table, and they got a discount on the meal, so they've already used it. It works. And the great thing about app adoption, as you know, it's a viral process. So as the app's rolled out, as the restaurants develop, as the territories are rolled out, we're going to see this company expand exponentially, and the company sort of will roll out across the UK. But the company also raised money recently, so they're fully funded until 2020, 2021. They raised £2.1 million at 7.2p. So clearly the stock's trading about around 5p at the moment. So if you were looking at a price target in the near term, to me, that's a no-brainer. That's where the money's been raised. That's where the investors saw the value, and that's got to be the next stop for the stock. But clearly, there are some developments to take place. But it's at a very exciting juncture right now, as is Tiziana.
Very interesting. And you mentioned a third company that you're following at the moment. What company is that?
Okay, so we're in the world of mining now. So this is a company called Tertiary Minerals. TYM is the Epic code, and Tertiary is primarily, and I say this, it's primarily a company that's engaged in fluorspar. What is fluorspar, you say? It's classed by the EU as a critical mineral, and it's used in across a multiple range of applications. For example, in developing optics, in smelting, in glasswork, a whole range of stuff. tertiary own three key mining projects or three key mines, the Fluspar mines. There's the Lassedalen project in Norway, the Stormer project in Sweden, and the biggest, which is the MB project in Nevada. The fluorspar market globally has been quite benign over the past few years. So, given where the company is at, it has the assets, but the demand currently is quite low. So, the company announced last year that it was looking for near term cash generating projects to basically help the company develop cash flow and acquire further projects. So there are two projects that the company has developed since that point. Firstly, they announced the Paymaster project, which is a zinc, copper, silver, cobalt, and tellurium project in the Walker Lane Copper and Gold Belt in the USA, in Nevada, not too far from the MB project, which is the biggest fluorspar project, and also the Pyramid project too, which is in the same region. The Walker Lane Copper and Gold Belt is long established as a fertile ground for, and there are many large mining companies are engaged there in production. And the company tertiary announced yesterday that it's following the acquisition of the project, initial follow-up field reconnaissance had taken place, and the samples that it took from a couple of the prospects there revealed 7.5% zinc, 4.3% lead, and 180 grams per ton of silver, which is pretty significant. I mean, that's a good find by any standards. Clearly, with that sort of potential under your feet, as it were, tertiary can now move this forward and take the project onto the next stage, which will be obviously a feasibility study and then mining the assets and bring them to production. In the meantime, of course, it has these fluorspar assets. So, and in terms of its value at the moment, the company is literally worth £1.1 million. So the value of all three fluorspar assets, never mind the Paymaster and Pyramid assets, doesn't even figure in this valuation. The shares are traded as high as 0.8p on the year and as low as 0.2p, currently trading at 0.24, so literally just off the bottom in that regard. So any movement, any development on this, and there was a nudge up in the share price yesterday, I would expect to see some pretty exponential growth in the share price on the back of that.
Interesting, Alan. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Pleasure, Abraham. Thank you very much.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The five most liked RNSs, starting with number five, we have Emerson. We've got a Scottish billionaire. He's got 3% of the company now. And number four, we have Versarion, where their final results are out. And number three, we have Jangada Mines, where they've disposed their Pedra Branca project. Number two, we've got Rheobald Resources, where they completed their Parta Exploration License Farming. And at number one, the most liked RNS on Vox Markets, AsiaMet Resources received environmental approval for their BKM project. And the five most followed companies on Vox Markets are, starting with number five, ADM Energy. Number four, we have Emotion Group. At number three, we have Physiomics. At number two, we have Empact Group. And the most followed company is Care Group.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research. Want to know which companies are about to list on the London Stock Exchange? To see an up-to-date list of all the new and upcoming London IPOs, please visit voxmarkets.co.uk/IPO-watch.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.